Thank you so much for joining us today. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry to touch your life. So please, take a minute and send us your story to mystory@crossroadscb.org. And if God has used this ministry to touch your life in any way, we want to encourage you, partner with us financially. Help us continue delivering God's word to the world. You can visit crossroadscb.org to find the giving option that works best for you. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
Well, I'm honored to be here today to be able to share the word. Obviously, we don't have the overheads, and I had some things I wanted to share on the overhead, but that's okay. I want you to absorb what I'm about to share with you, okay? The message that I'm going to bring today is called First Things First, and it's consider your ways, or consider how things are going. And we're going to be in the book of Haggai. Now, there's different ways you can pronounce that. Some pronounce it Haggai, some pronounce it Haggai. I choose the one with the less syllables because it's better for me. So we're going to go with Haggai today, okay? So if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, if you want to find that book in the Old Testament, we're going to be sharing out of that book. But in order for us to consider our ways, we need to look at Scripture. What does Scripture say? Because we know as Christians that the Word says to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And to love our neighbors as ourself. And I want you to ask yourself a question, do you do that or do I do that? And trust me, this message is just as much for me today as it is for you. God convicted me. He spoke to my heart during this whole process of studying for this. The Word also says that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then the Word says also that if Jesus said to his disciples, if you want to be my disciples or my followers, and he says that to us today, then you must what? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me daily. Do we do that? We hear those scriptures all the time, don't we? And then sometimes it gets diluted by the things of this world. And so we hear the word, we know the word, we're supposed to love them with all of our heart, and then something happens. We begin to get sidetracked. Our culture today, and I share this a lot at Overcomers, but our culture today will draw us away from our relationship with God if we let it, okay? Our culture says, do this, do that, listen to this, watch this, hang out with whoever. Hollywood and the media will portray certain things and throw things in our face. And if we buy into that, then what we're going to do is we're going to dilute the Word of God in our lives. And then we're not going to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, are we? And so we need to be very, be very, very careful with that. I'm reminded of in Mark 10, 17 through 27, it's a rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And so Jesus goes through this dialogue with him, and at the end he says to this man, sell everything you own, give to the poor, and follow me. And it says that this young man went away sad because he had much. And not all of us here have much, I'm sure. I know I don't have a whole lot, but what I do have, I realize it belongs to God. And we need to realize that. Amen? You can give the Lord a hand. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. This message, there may be some conviction. There's never any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We need to remember that. But there may be some conviction. And as long as it's from the Holy Spirit, that's good. We need that. Right? Amen? So that's important. But we need to understand and realize we need to prioritize our life. And we all struggle with things. I do. And trust me, I'm preaching to myself or teaching myself as well, because I was very, as I said, convicted when I was studying this out. But there's three words that I like to use in my daily walk and when I take a personal inventory of my life. Discipline, am I disciplined in the things of God? Am I allowing outside influences to come in and take control of my life, or am I allowing God's word to become real in my life? The other one is obedience. It's so important. In 2 John 1:6, God's word says, "This is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands." Okay? Check your own life. I'm just saying, when I share this with you, I want you to look at your own life and where you're at. And take with you today some of the things that I share. And it might be kind of tough to swallow, but please do. I don't want to water the word down. That third word is surrender. It's a goal at Overcomers that we use a lot. It's my favorite goal. But if we can get down the surrender to God and just say, "God, everything I have is yours. I love you." But once again, it's hard to do in this culture that we live in, isn't it? It wants to throw everything at us that is contrary to God's word. So we need to be very, very careful. So we need to prioritize. We need to be disciplined. We need to be obedient. And we need to learn how to surrender. The things that are eternal are most important, right? The things that are fleeting are the things that we see in the here and now, in this side of glory. We get a glimpse of God's place that he has for us. Jesus says, "I've gone away to prepare a place for us, that where he is at, we may be also." And we get a glimpse in God's word of what that's going to be like. On this side of glory, we have pain and suffering, sorrow, sin. But it says in heaven, there's not going to be any of that, right? That's good. That's the place he has for us. And it says that there's going to be streets of gold, a crystal sea. And it's going to be the tree of life. There's going to be so much there that we can't really comprehend all that, but we just know it's going to be great. So that's over here to us sometimes. We know it's there. We know it's for us as Christians, but it's not seen yet. But what is seen is all the temporal things over here. You know, the things that the latest and greatest gadgets that we can have. Our hobbies, our interests, the things we like, our material things, the money, the stuff in this side of glory. And so it's so real to us because we can reach out and grab it and have it. But the things that are eternal are still off over here. They're real. But we tend to lean toward the material and the world and not so much to the eternal. The temporal is gonna flee, right? It's not gonna be here. And we have a hard time with that because our flesh, our sinful nature, wants to go and crave those things. Keep that in mind. The setting today is found in Haggai chapter 1. Let's go to the word, and then we're going to go in prayer this morning, okay? We're going to start at verse 2 of Haggai chapter 1. It says out of the New Living Translation, "This is what the Lord Almighty says that the people are saying. The time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house, the temple. So the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider how things are going for you." In verse 6, it says, "You have planted much, but harvested little. You have food to eat, but not enough to fill you up. You have wine to drink, but not enough to satisfy your thirst. You have clothing to wear, but not enough to keep you warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes." I like that. Verse 7 says, "This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider how things are going for you." There it is again. In verse 8 it says, "Now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You hope for riches and rich harvests, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord Almighty. And while you were all busy building your own fine houses, and that is why the heavens have withheld the dew and the earth has withheld its crops." And verse 11 says that, "I have called a drought on your fields and hills, a drought to wither the grain and grapes and olives and all of your crops, a drought to starve both you and your cattle and to ruin everything that you have worked so hard for. Father, this morning we're so grateful and thankful for your word. It is your word, Father, that changes us. It is your word that penetrates into our hearts. It is your word that builds faith and trust in you, in us. And as we walk your word out in our lives, Father, in obedience, that's what pleases you. So this morning, Father, we just ask by your Holy Spirit you would teach us, that you allow us to absorb your word, help it to penetrate our hearts, and help us to walk it out in our lives on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So consider your ways. So how are things going for you? Ask yourself that question. Some of you may be doing just fine. Life is great. Some of you may be struggling. And we probably have obviously both, and maybe some in between. But in all ways, and no matter in good or bad, we need to ask that question. How are things going for us? Or consider your ways. So after the return of the exiles from Babylon, the first task that the Lord wanted them to do was to rebuild the temple. But there was opposition. And they had a furious start, but they kind of started to fizzle. Why? Because they began to put their interests and their things first. So it can kind of take it to today in our church today, not specifically this church, but in the church around this world. We have projects, we have ministries, and we start off like gangbusters. And we're in it. We're doing all we can do to make sure that God is honored and glorified, because we feel that that's what he's called us to do, and he's laid upon our heart to do it. But sometimes when we get interference, or in this case they had opposition, we kind of take the path of least resistance. And so we kind of put things of God off to the side, and we begin to say, well, this is kind of hard. I wasn't bargaining for this. And we begin to fade as far as the things of God are concerned. And we begin to side with our culture, with today's things, with our own comforts. We've got to be very, very careful with that. But it says that the people managed to lay the temple's foundation, but discontinued the work of God that God called them to, and began to make excuses. And they began to say, and this is what it says in verse 2, that the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's temple. But that's exactly why God had them there, was to do that. So think of today in the church. God has called us corporately as the body of Christ and individually as Christians, as believers, to do something. He's called you specifically, whatever that is, in a ministry, to always share the word of God. We're always commanded to do that. And corporately as the body of Christ, as outreach, whatever that is. And we need to get into it, and we know that's God's will. Listen, God's will is not that difficult to discern. Okay? You might say, oh, God, I don't know what God wants for me. I just don't know. God's word, first and foremost, is his word. His will is his word. So when we are in his word and we read the things that we need to be involved in, the things we need to be doing, that's God's will. Specifically, he might call you to be a missionary or to be a teacher or a pastor or to work behind the scenes, maybe the gifts of administration or whatever. Specifically for you, that is what God's called you to do. You need to do it with all your heart and not let things interfere with that and persevere through that. We give up too easy, and I believe sometimes we give up way too easy and this short of the huge blessing that God wants to give to us and bestow upon us. So we need to be very careful. But God's will is not that difficult to discern, but we have no excuses to disobey. God wants disobedience. He's a jealous God. He wants our obedience. Remember in the Old Testament, Saul, King Saul, he went out and wiped out the nation, one of the enemies, and he brought something back when he was told not to. And the prophet had to come to him and tell him that obedience is better than sacrifice. Because Saul wanted to sacrifice to God. Nothing wrong with sacrifice, right, when it's to God. But he'd rather have our obedience. He'd rather have our obedience. So God's house was still in ruins. And in Ezra chapter 1, we won't go there, but it also shares along those same lines. So their delayed obedience was disobedience. And to take a page out of the Overcomer's book, we talk about indecision. If we fail to decide, we decide to fail. So if you're going to sit back and just kind of contemplate and say, well, I don't know if this is really God's will, pretty soon time's going to pass, you're not going to do nothing. And then God's not going to be glorified, and you're not going to benefit from that. Okay? So the first point I want to share with you is consider your ways. Consider how things are going when God's people are selfish. Do we have anybody that would admit that they're selfish in here? A few of you. About half of you. The other half are not selfish. You're all sold out to God, right? I'm selfish. You know, in fact, my three favorite people are me, myself, and I. When it should be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That should be my three favorite. But I tend to be selfish, very selfish. So when we as God's people are more concerned about our own plans and our own desires than God's, then we have lost our way, haven't we? And once again, and the reason why I brought up our culture at the very beginning is because our culture will desensitize us spiritually if we let it. Watch how much time you're spending on certain things. Let's just leave it at that. I'm not going to go off on that little tangent, Steve. Last time, I got to tell you this. Last time I was up here and I was sharing and I was telling everybody how much I do not like my phone because it takes all the attention away from the important things. And right in the middle of that, Steve texts me on purpose. But he did say, I love you, brother. So, not this time, Steve. Not this time. So God's confrontation was direct, and in verse 4, he reminded them that they had taken plenty of time for their own houses and desires, but allowed God's house to remain in ruins. Is that proper prioritization? No, it's not. Do we do that at times? Yes. So what we need to do is be disciplined, obedient, and learn how to surrender, and that's huge. If we can remember those things in our life on a daily basis, sometimes minute by minute, sometimes often during the day, we need to do that. So we can expect the blessings of God when we are selfish? No. But the three favorite people, as I said before, are me, myself, and I. So when we hold back on giving our best to the Lord, whether that entails time, talent, gifts, or giving, we forfeit His blessings. I love what Greg shared when just before we took up the offering, that he can't outgive God, and that's true. So I want to spend a little bit of time on tithe. It's a subject that most pastors have a really hard time sharing with their congregations. But I'm not a pastor. So I can share with you not only what God has done for us in our lives, but trust me, pastor, nobody put me up to this. But it is so important to understand that the church doesn't want your money when people do that. And in fact, I got listed here. There was several top 10 excuses or whatever on why people don't give. Maybe you've had a few of these yourself. The first one that was mentioned, I won't go through all of them, I'll just pick out a few here. It says that it's all mine anyway, why should I give? Have you heard that, or maybe you've thought that? I worked hard for it. You've heard that before, right? Well, if you go to the book of Psalms in chapter 50, starting at verse 10, God's word says that for all the animals of the forest are mine. I own a cattle on 1,000 hills. You've probably heard that scripture before. It says, every bird of the mountains and all the animals of the field belong to me. If I were hungry, I would not even mention it to you. For all the world is mine and everything in it. I don't need the bulls you sacrifice. I don't need the blood of goats. What I want instead is your true thanks to God. In other words, what we need to do is we need our true devotion to God. He owns it all anyway. But where's your heart in all this? He says, I want instead is your true thanks to God. I want you to fulfill your vows to the Most High. Trust in me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory, it says. Giving can be a difficult thing for some of us. But when we come to the realization that everything that we have belongs to God, it's easier for us to understand why we're giving. God, it's yours. I'm just giving it back to you. I'm honoring you with everything that I have. Here's another one. It says tithing is not in the New Testament. And that word tithe is not in the New Testament. But the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 9, 6, and 7, that God loves a what?
Cheerful giver.
Cheerful giver, right? So if you're begrudgingly giving, it's not cheerful, is it? It's just the opposite of. Is God going to honor that? Not really, because you really don't want to give, and you might as well not. You might as well not even give if that's your attitude. Another one is God will provide through other people. Ask yourself this question. I did years and years ago. If everybody in the church gives like you give, would the church be healthy? It's really quiet in here right now. Ask yourself that question. If everybody in the church gives like you give, would the church be healthy? Would we be able to reach the lost? Would we be able to come in and worship God and having the worship team lead us into the presence of God? Would we be able to have lights? Would we be able to pay the bills at all, pay our pastor, pay the salaries in the church? So ask yourself that question. Now, not all of us are able to give a lot, and I'm going to get into that in just a few moments. You know, and I think about when Jesus was in the temple, and he pulled his disciples together, and he was watching the people give, put into the temple treasury. And they were all putting in, and Jesus told his disciples, look, this widow put in very little, but she put in everything she had. Everybody else put in from their wealth and their abundance, but she put in everything. So it wasn't the amount that she gave, it was a sacrifice. You know, you can have $1 million, so you put, you know, $10,000 in her, that's not a whole lot. It's something, and it's good, don't get me wrong, but it's not a whole lot. Where's your heart? Where's your attitude in it? So it's all about the souls. It's all about coming together as the body of Christ, and we have what we have because of your giving. We do what we do because of your giving. And once it leaves your hand, because the next one says, I don't trust the pastor. That's what people say. I don't trust it. What are you doing in church if you don't trust the pastor? I believe that sometimes, not always, and this is just my thought, that sometimes the television evangelists put a bad taste in people's mouths, because what they do is they ask for stuff, and now you hear about if you give to this, I can get my jet and I can fly around the world proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. We can do that from our gadgets, but that sometimes that puts a bad taste in my mouth. But the thing of it is our pastor desires to see you blessed and to prosper. That's why when he mentions giving and paying your tithes, it's for your benefit. It's because God wants to bless you. And we're going to get into that in just a moment, okay? Here's another one, that I will tithe when I can afford it. Just a quick testimony. Karen and I did time in prison. We got out 25 years ago. We got involved in the church, and we began to get involved in ministries, but we've always tithed, always. And I say that to glorify God, not to pat myself on the back, because it's all about Him. But there was a time After a few months, because we got out of prison, we had thousands and thousands of dollars in fines that we had to pay. We had debt. And I began to think, well, I could take this money that we're given to God and we could start paying these bills down. Is that a right or wrong thinking? But that's the way people think, right? Karen says, uh-uh. No way, we can't do that. But I still struggled with that. But we kept on tithing. And God began to open doors like you would not believe. And it wasn't that he was pouring a bunch of money under our lap, but he was opening doors for promotions for us. If we needed to work overtime. Health, so we can work. I mean, the blessings just poured in. And we had those fines paid off in no time. I don't know how long it was, less than a year and a half or something. Phenomenal. Then it began, I mean, just phenomenal, because we never deviated from that plan. Now, that's the only time I've ever listened to my wife. And it's always, no, I'm just kidding. And that's the best thing that she's ever told me, and we've done it ever since. And God has blessed tremendously. Because why? Because we've learned to surrender. God, it's all yours. We began to walk in obedience to his word. Do we do everything perfect? No. Sometimes we get out of line a little bit, but God brings us back. So we need to be disciplined. And those are three huge points, okay? Another one is, in this last one here, it says, I have too many bills. So what we do is, we get off track, because what we start saying is, well, I'll pay all my bills and I'll give God what's left over. But that's not what his word says. When we surrender to him and we love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we want to pick up our cross daily and deny ourselves, then we're going to give first, and then we're going to pay our bills, because God will open doors and allow us. One other thing real quick is we thought we needed to borrow some money back when we first started out, because we came up $50 short on paying our bills, and we gave God his. So I borrowed $50 from my aunt and came home, and we realized that we didn't even need to borrow the $50 because God had already provided for that. And that's not much, but that's what God does. And in his word says, test him, try him. In the book of Malachi, in the Old Testament, it says, and see that I will not pour out a blessing. Open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing that you cannot contain when we give. See, the people in Haggai's day began to put God second, and they were selfish. And God called them out on it through the prophet. And we're going to see at the end, it's going to be good at the end, and it's for all of us, okay? There are... the Bible offers over 500 verses on prayer, fewer than 500 verses on faith, and more than 2,000 verses on money, possessions. And if you don't realize that, you don't read that carefully, you don't realize that, that's a lot of verses, isn't it? 15% of everything that Jesus taught on was on the topic of money, possessions, and finances, more than his teachings on heaven and hell combined. So that must be pretty important, right? So when you think about surrendering and discipline and obedience, it's God's. Everything is God's, and we need to remember that, okay? Matthew 6:21 says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what's important to you? What's important? The second point I wanted to bring up is consider how things are going when God's place is secondary. It says that the people acted as if they didn't care about the place where God's name was to be honored in his very presence, in spite of their clear instruction to take care of it. They didn't. They put it on the back burner, so to speak. We can't afford to do that. God can be worshipped anywhere. You can worship God in the line at Walmart. I do a lot of praying in the line at Walmart. It's crazy there. It's crazy. But we can worship God driving our cars. We can worship God anywhere. You know, the Bible talks about us being the temple of the Holy Spirit, our bodies. This is where the Holy Spirit dwells, so we can worship God anywhere. But I believe that just as Haggai told the people in that day that you've left my place or my house in ruins, we need to take care of not only our physical houses where the Holy Spirit dwells, but also the corporate house where we come together and worship God together. And the Bible talks about don't forsake that in the book of Hebrews. It says don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And so it's important for us to understand that. But when I have the privilege of serving on the board here at Crossroads, have for a number of years, and it's a privilege to be able to do that. But I remember sitting on the board years ago, and trust me, I'm not trying to say anything negative about anybody, but we had plans to do things, but they never, ever got up off the ground. We did a lot of talking, but it never moved forward. And in the meantime, things begin to deteriorate, just like anything. Things begin to fall apart. They need to be updated. They need to be fixed. Things need to be painted. And so I'm gonna give a little shout out to Pastor here. When Pastor came on 4 years ago, there was a lot of things that needed to be taken care of. And he began to put in motion plans where we wouldn't get in debt, but we could start taking care of some of the things that need to be taken care of around here. Why? Because God's house is important, right? I mean, it doesn't have to be perfect, and you can worship God in a shack. You can worship God in one of these mega churches where it's beautiful, everything is perfect. But God's house does need to be taken care of. And so he began to put things in order, and it's taken a number of years, but look where we've come. And God is using Pastor Joseph in mighty ways. And Pastor Isaac, let's give a shout out for them. So I truly believe that if we don't get first things first, church, that we will find days of spiritual drought upon us. And it mentioned that in verse 11 of Haggai chapter 1, where it says, I have called for a drought on the fields and hills. Why? Because they weren't honoring and being obedient to the things of God. But there's good news, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. The physical building is probably very, very important, most important, because that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. So be careful what you put in. Okay, just let me kind of a sidebar. Be careful what you listen to, what you watch, where you go, who you hang out with, because it has a huge effect on how you're going to act and what you're going to become. I'm telling you out of experience, okay? I know. And some of you know, too. So if we neglect to do what's right in putting God's word in and walking that out in our lives, then if we neglect that, then we're going to be in trouble, right? Point number three. Here's the positive part. Consider how things are going when God's presence is sought. Okay? I don't know about you, but whenever I seek God, and there's times that I don't do that enough, but I feel like terrible. I feel like I've almost let God down, or I just feel empty. If I don't start my day off in the Word, if I don't pray during the day, and if I don't worship God wherever I'm at, I begin to feel empty. And it's important for us to continue to put that, the Word in the obedience factor we talked about, okay? Strong Bible teaching and preaching against apathetic attitude is found in verses 12 and 13 of the chapter 1 of Haggai. They had come under conviction and considered their ways. They heard the voice of the Lord, their God, and it says in verse 12 that they worshiped the Lord in earnest. And then in verse 13 it says, I am with you, says the Lord. So there was a time where God used the prophet Haggai to warn the people about their apathy, about their lackadaisical attitudes, about putting their things before God's. And then once the people turned from that attitude and that lifestyle and began to turn and worship God, God says that I am with you, says the Lord. Isn't that great? There's hope. So if we're struggling with things, there's hope. There's always hope. I want us to go to Haggai chapter 2, verse 19. And this is what God's word says, and this is what God promises. Okay, before anything happens, this is what he promises in verse 19 of chapter 2. I am giving you a promise now, while the seed is still in the barn, before you have harvested your grain and before the grapevine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive trees have produced their crop, from this day onward, I will bless you. Give the Lord a hand for that, because that's what he's saying to us today. He will bless us for our obedience. We can get off track. We can let our culture dictate to us how we're going to live our lives. But if we're disciplined, I'm spending too much time here. I got to go back here. Remind yourself, go back to your relationship with God. Put him first. I want to share something about kingdom living with you. It's pretty profound. I had to read it like 8 or 10 times, and it began to sink in. So if you want a copy of this, I'll see if I can get you one, but listen very carefully. Kingdom living at its best is always attained when obedience is honored. Virtuous living is the acknowledgement and the agreement that God's word, that God's ways are always best. We get that backwards sometimes. Sometimes we think our ways are the best and we got it all together. But there's things in our lives that we hang on to that we're not letting go. And we're not saying, God, this is yours. I want to hang on to this. You got to be careful. But it says, neither you nor I nor any other created being has ever had a better idea than God. But sometimes we act like we do, don't we? Your life will be a rare and beautiful reflection of the beauty and joy of God's character when you obey with diligence the life that the Scripture presents. If you're not putting God's word in and you're not walking in obedience, is what pleases God, and that builds our faith too and trust in Him, then there's something that needs to change in our lives. So next time you give, you know, you probably heard it said you can reach in your neighbor's pocket and give like you've never given before. I don't want you to do that. I just want you to begin to trust. Look, people are starting to separate a little bit. I just want you to trust in God for his providential care in your life. Okay? That is so huge. We have never, ever gone without ever anything. But it takes discipline, and it takes some changing that you might not be comfortable with, because you become comfortable with what you're doing now, and it, you know, we all have things in our life that don't line up with God's word. So please, take that as a, I don't want to mean a conviction, but take it for what it's worth and begin to put it into practice. Amen? Amen, that's so important. I'm going to turn it over to Isaac and the worship team now. But please, whenever you hear God's word, come with an ear of a disciple to hear and to absorb and to walk it out in your lives and make it real to you. Make it personal for you, because it's a personal relationship that you have with Jesus, and everything is his. Amen. Everything. Amen. Praise God.